Thank you. So question S2 asked whether Section 9 of the IFRS for SME standards should be aligned with IFRS 10 and asked for views on aligning the definition of control in Section 9 to that of IFRS 10, retaining and updating paragraph 9.5 of the IFRS for SME standard, and not introducing the requirement that investment entities measure investments in subsidiaries at fair value through profit or loss. The staff has analyzed the feedback from comment letters, the online survey, as well as feedback received from outreach events to all these three questions posed in the request for information, and the responses that were received were as follows. Many respondents agreed with aligning the definition of control in Section 9 with IFRS 10. Many respondents agreed with the board's position to retain and update paragraph 9.5 of the IFRS for SME standard, and mixed views were received with regards to not introducing the requirements for investment entities, with some respondents who were in favor of introducing the requirements being of the view that it may be relevant to some entities that apply the IFRS for SME standard, while those respondents who were against it said that very few SMEs would likely qualify as investment entities. Having analyzed the feedback received, staff think that the feedback from the stakeholders who engaged during the consultative period provides evidence for the SMIG to recommend that the board consider aligning the definition of control to that of IFRS 10, retaining and updating paragraph 9.5 of the IFRS for SME standard, and that the board does not introduce the requirements regarding investment entities into the SME standard. I'd like to hand over to the SMIG for further discussions. Thank you.
Thanks, Kumblo. Billing, you are the first one to comment.
Thank you, Chia. I support the staff position, but there's one, if I make clarification, the staff mentioned just now, including updates of paragraph 9.5. So I'm not clear what updates. Is the update restricted to amendments from the alignment of the definition of control in Section 9? So it's more of a question to the staff.
Yeah, Kumblo, do you want to clarify the meaning of updating? Yeah.
Michelle, do you want to take over that question?
So I think our aim was to retain that relief effectively, but we wanted to just make sure that it would be consistent with the new language. And we did get some feedback in the comment letters, I think, that this exemption is a bit inconsistent with the control model. So I think we will need to think that through.
Thanks, Michelle. Reinhard.
Yeah, thank you. Maybe it's also a question from my experience, the biggest issue in practice is applying the de facto control concept. So would that also be included then, or would that be not mentioned directly in the update to the standard? That's where I'm a little unclear. And if it will be included, then whether it is possible to have some additional guidance or examples on how to apply, because I would assume that will potentially cause us issues in practice in applying that concept. Thank you.
Thank you, Reinhard. Michelle, do you want to respond?
So I think the point that Reinhard is making is quite interesting, and I think we'll be able to learn a lot from the post-implementation review that is ongoing at the moment on IFRS 10, 11, and 12. And so that consultation period ends in May, and that one of the questions in that consultation document is about control without the majority of the voting right. So we will, I think, when we'll wait to take this paper to the board when we've got the feedback from that consultation document, so we can think about how we bring in de facto control, how that exemption or that how that relief in 9.5 can be applied. So I think there are a few more conceptual issues that we need to think about in this chapter.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think that's a very good idea to take that feedback into consideration.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Una.
I agree with everything that's been said so far. I suppose just the investment entity. We do have entities that would fall into scope of the IFRS for SME that manage their investments in subsidiaries on a fair value basis. And as I was said earlier, that is how they prepare their management accounts and it's how they run their business. It seems to me to prohibit that approach is not meeting the needs of that section of the community. And maybe an option to consider is making it an alternative, in other words, not mandating that treatment for entities that are investment entities, but allowing them maybe to apply a fair value measurement rather than full consolidation. And that might be a middle ground so that it didn't impose fair value on entities that didn't want to use it, but it did open the door to permitting entities that met the definition of an investment entity to use that method of accounting for their investment in subsidiaries. Thank you.
Thanks, Una. Chi, please.
Thank you. I basically agree with the staff's opinions, but I have two suggestions. Firstly, I think we should introduce more examples to describe the control model. We know the control model is theoretically excellent, but is much principle and not very easy to use. Maybe we should give more examples in detail to tell the accountants how to use the model. And secondly, I think the 2 points, the 9.5 paragraph is only describe the power, and I think it's only one part a control model and not a whole model. So I don't think it's a good way to cover and get a conclusion that entity have control. I don't think so. So I have a suggestion. We should give more examples to explain how to define the entity have the power rather than use the words to describe it. And that's my view. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Chi. I understand that you generally agree with the staff's approach, but you would like to have more guidance, you know. Yeah, thank you. Jenny, please.
Thank you. Yes, I mean, generally, I'm in favour of aligning significant definitions. Obviously, control is one of those. But I do have some reservations in this instance, which is around the impact it might have, whether the changes that it introduced are particularly relevant to the population for the IFRS SME standard, and therefore whether actually a lot of work could be created for.
Jenny, we lost your voice. Jenny, yeah? Okay, maybe. Raymond, can you speak first and then we contact Jenny again? Yeah.
Thank you. I just wanted to concur with the comments that were made by Yuna earlier around the investment entity accounting. I think just to reiterate the point that I made much earlier in the conversation. I alluded to the introduction of, I guess the words that Jenny has used are probably more apt, is that if there's a policy choice that entities in this space could apply, you know, that they could use to apply either equity consolidation, or they can apply the investment entity exemption, I think that for me would probably be a middle ground that will be acceptable to a lot of entities that are in this space, because we do see a lot of family office type businesses where they're not necessarily involved in the running of the underlying businesses, but they certainly manage them on a fair value basis. So those sorts of businesses, I think, would certainly benefit from the inclusion of wording in here that would allow for investment entity accounting. Thank you.
Thank you. Billy?
Thank you, Chen Chia. On top of what Reinhard mentioned about the veto power, may I suggest that since now the ISB is conducting outreach on the PIR for IFRS 10, IFRS 11, all the issues, application issues, be it the drafting of the standard, the clarity of the definition, be taken into consideration before we move too fast on the drafting of this exposure draft, wording in the exposure draft. Since now we are on alignment mode, it may, you know, the issues may flow to the exposure draft if we have not considered in detail or properly the PIR issues that the ISB may receive in due course. Thank you.
Thanks, Billy. Michelle, do you want to respond to some of the comments?
So I wanted to respond and I wanted to ask a question, if that's okay. So, Biling, yes, we will be working closely with the PIR team to make sure any of the issues that might flow down, we can manage through. So that's, but I wanted to ask a question on the investment entities that are falling in the scope of the IFRS for SME standard, because when the board were discussing this, and this is in paragraph B25 of the RFI, the board felt that based on the definition of an investment entity, few entities eligible to apply the IFRS for SME standard would also be investment entities. And I think Raymond partly answered my question because he said there were a number of family-owned businesses that were investment entities. And I was just wondering if there are particular characteristics about those investment entities that are falling within the scope of the standard.
Thanks. Yeah. If anyone, any SMIG members wants to respond, yeah. But let's start. Ayodhya.
All right. Thank you. As for me, I support the alignments of the definition in Section 9 with the definition in IFRS 10. And this is important because the definition of control is required to be consistent. Well, I also support the retaining and updating the paragraph 9.5 of the SME standard. However, there's a concern that was raised in my constituent. And that is the fact that the concern for my consistency is that paragraph 9.5 should apply only to entities for which power is determined through voting right. However, it was stated that if power is determined other than through voting right, then that the full definition and detailed assessment should be applied. And in terms of investment entities, well, in as much as I support the alignment of the IFRS standard with the full IFRS, the principle of simplicity, which we also advocated, you know, we agree that the board not to introduce the requirement that investment entities measure investment in subsidiaries at fair value through profit or loss. So I think that is my comment for now. Thank you.
Thank you. just wondering, Jenny, do you want to come back again, Jenny? Yeah, because just now we lost you.
Thank you. I'll have another go. Yes, apologies about that. It's always at the wrong moment, isn't it? Yes, I think I was just saying that there could be a cost involved for entities in re-examining control. And so it would be important to make it clear to the extent possible, I guess, that where there are situations where the structure is stable and straightforward, there's no need to go through a big exercise to re-examine control. I think that would be helpful. And I agree with having something in the standard on investment entities. Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks, Jenny. And you are?
Yes, just to say that I support the alignment of the definition of control with IFRS 10 and the retention of the simplification in section 5.9. I am, however, not clear on what the updating with respect to section 9.5 would be. With respect to the definition of investment property, well, based on the definition of investment property in IFRS 10, while not many entities, at least in my part of the world, would meet this definition, I am of the view that the option should be retained in terms of allowing entities to consolidate its investments when control is obtained.
Thanks, Andrea. Daniel.
I wanted to point out that we must remember that there is a wide variety of SMEs, so they are not just family businesses. I know several investment entities that are SMEs. If an entity invests in others, it is natural that it should use fair value as a reference. So I do not think that makes it difficult to apply this requirement. On the other hand, a gap is generated with the full IFRS for this type of entities. So I think investment entities should measure their investors in at fair value for SMEs.
Thanks, Daniel. Lehman.
Just to go back to Michelle's question around the investment entities, and I think to add to what Daniel just said, now it's, I guess I use the family offices as an example. That would be, I think, one of many types of businesses that I, as an investment entity, had they been applying full IFRS. In this case, they've chosen to apply IFRS for SMEs, but on a management accounting basis, manage their businesses on a fair value basis. So that on the balance of things, if they were to apply full IFRS, they would qualify as investment entities. But because they happen to be applying SME accounting, they do, you know, they're forced to go on a different path. And I think, and I'm saying, I think we need to make room for entities of that nature as well. But I think giving an option may be the way to try and simplify the accounting, the accounting that such entities would have to contend with.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Raymond. Una, do you want to come back to the investment entity issue? Yeah.
I was just going to also answer Michelle's question, just to say that there are a number of private equity entities that would not meet the definition of public accountability, but would prefer to apply IFRS for SME, but they would have interest in entities which might qualify as subsidiaries, but they would intend that for the short term, that those entities would ultimately be sold or might go on list if that. And you also see groups of high net worth individuals often investing in type startup entities as well. And similarly, they wouldn't be caught by the public accountability. So we do see that quite a bit in the SME sector.
Thank you. Safura.
Thank you. Just a quick comment. In practice, and particularly in this part of the world, it is very less likely that investment entity would fall under the eligibility criteria to apply IFR as far as SME standard. Normally, they are large size entities. In my view, the requirement for investment entities to measure subsidiary at fair value through profit and loss should not be introduced in the IFR as far as SME standard. Thank you.
Thanks, Safura. Michelle Fisher, do you want to comment?
Yes, if possible. On the definition of control, I had some sympathy with the comments that Jenny mentioned, and I think it would be consistent with the staff's preliminary thoughts on the principles of alignment if the definition of control was only aligned if we think the change would have a practical impact on the financial statements for those entities that the standard is intended for. Otherwise, there would be costs without benefit. And I understand there may be some companies that are applying the IFRS for SMEs that may be affected by a different definition of control. But I think it is worth considering that if the standard tries to cater for all possible transactions that any non-publicly accountable entity might enter into, I think the standard would have to retain most of the content of full IFRS. Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle. Peter and then Paul. Peter, you are on mute, Peter.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairman. On my side, I have some little comments. Hello? I think you can hear me.
Yes, please.
Little comments on the investment. You know, in our country, we classify any entity which holds assets that is fiduciary capacity that is responsible, that has public accountability. So it's on my view, I think it's not proper to include investment entity and IFRS for SME, so I can leave them to apply full IFRS. That's my comment.
Thanks, Peter. And Paul?
Thank you, Ching Chao. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, I'm supportive of the staff position here. Our general feeling is that the investment entities, it's a relatively rare situation. Obviously, you're going to find certain jurisdictions it may be more common than others. Where it does exist, they're not traded, fair value being somewhat difficult to, I think, to determine. I think Michelle Fisher, I think, really put a finger on the pulse when she said that, you know, in this standard, we can't possibly accommodate absolutely every situation of every SME across the whole bandwidth across every country. Because if we did, we may as well just revert back to IFRS. So I think that is a very valid point that I would support.
Thanks, Paul. I think a very clear comment. Thank you very much. I don't see any further comments on this topic. So Kumbulo, can you move on to the next topic?